choosing the leader by Ahlul al-Hal wal-Aqd, as we mentioned yesterday, and we'll continue with a little bit of explanation on this one. We'll go over it again one more time, which is the first way, inshallah. We'll read here this one, and we'll read the three ways, inshallah, before the day ends, inshallah.
The first way, what the author mentioned above, that is, whoever the Muslims choose, however, what is meant by those Muslims who choose the leader is Ahlul
Hal wal Aqd.
Ahlul Hal wal Aqd, people of experience and understanding among the scholars, leaders, statesmen, and the army commanders. It does not mean that choosing the leader is for everyone, including the children, women, city dwellers, and villagers. This is because people are required to follow Ahlul Hal wal Aqd. So if the Ahlul Hal wal Aqd choose a leader, it becomes obligatory upon the rest of the people to obey him. This is what happened regarding the Khalifa of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu.
So Ahlul Hal wal Aqd, basically, very briefly, the scholars, the people of ilm, the people of knowledge, the people of deen, they will choose for the Muslim their leader. This way, it's been chosen through a wise way, through what is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the voting system that is going through us these days, that could have qualification for a person who has no knowledge of the deen whatsoever, but because he is a rich man and he is given, it's like what happened here, you know, don't go too far, you know. The man with too much money, he has enough money to cover everywhere, and they choose him to be the leader, and that's it, khalas, he's the leader, you know. He doesn't need no leadership, nothing. He has money enough to cover his 10 grandchildren ahead of him. But subhanAllah, they choose him to be the, just because they like the way he looks, or the way he talks. Yeah. And this is very dangerous, because I don't think any Muslim countries use this method. Please let me know if you know any country that I am not aware of, so I can correct myself. Mm-hmm. I don't think any, there's no Muslim country that chooses Ahlul Hal wal Aqd to choose a leader for themselves. And the reason being is what? Corruption in our countries is the roots are deep in the ground. Every time you try to cut it and you think we finish the corruptions, you cut the tree all the way, man, this tree has so many roots, it comes from everywhere. It comes again and again. You cut here, they come from here. So Allah, the only one who is able to change this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of this, there is nobody to choose a good person who can be questioned. Can our leaders be questioned? No. But I'm not saying here that the idea is we have to obey whoever that we open our eyes to be our leaders. We cannot go there and try to force changing. It's just the way it is that this person open his eyes or her eyes and become a president. I'm saying her eyes because there is Muslims who are led by women. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. Without names to countries and stuff like that. Allah musta'an. ولا خير في قوم ولو امرهم امراه كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. A woman will never succeed if a woman lead them. It's like the story of Saba, that's only happened in the Quran, that's only time. Other than that, it never happened in the Muslim history, except now things changing because we've seen a lot of things. The Prophet told us, سترون اختلافا كثيرا من بعدي. This is promised. So therefore, أهل الحل والعقد, it does not exist in our time, but this is one method, في سقيفة بني عامر. You know سقيفة بني عامر. What happened in سقيفة بني عامر? اجتماعهم الصحابة لاختيار خليفة للمسلمين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is dead. He's not even been buried yet. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is still not buried, and they still need to find somebody to lead the Ummah. The Ummah is in a very sensitive and weak. So أهل الحل والعقد, all of them اجتمعوا من خيار الصحابة, the best of Sahaba. They choose and they said, hey, Abu Bakr. Now the people came after that and they start getting into the stories of this and that. Our problem, brothers, we whether it's Ali or Abu Bakr or Uthman or Umar, the idea is someone is taking over the leadership for the Muslims to protect this beautiful deen that the Prophet ﷺ told us, تَرَكْتُهَا لَكُمْ بَيْضَاءَ نَاصِعَةً. I left it to you pure white. Yeah, you know, it's nothing. Very clear, very pure, very subhanAllah. He did not die, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he left the deen complete. Right?
Yeah.
And now, alhamdulillah, with our times and era, the issue of leadership it's very critical, and unfortunately it doesn't satisfy a lot of people, but this is the way it is. We have to live with it. So Ahlul Halli wal Aqd, this is number one. Number two, or we still have a little more.
After the demise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions were unanimous in the Pledge of Allegiance to As-Siddiq. So the rest of the Ummah followed those who selected As-Siddiq. No room was left for anyone to participate in the selection. This is because it is one of the specific duties of Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. And the Muslims selected Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was the best amongst them, and the selection has proofs from the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger alayhi salam. First, Abu Bakr is the best amongst the companions. Absolutely no one disagrees with this. Second, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi salam gave indications of his khilafah. Amongst these indications is that during the Prophet's terminal illness, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam placed Abu Bakr forward in the salah to lead the Muslims in the mihrab, the prayer chamber of Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and to assume the position of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This is an indication that he is the leader in the khilafah, just as he is the leader in as-salah. So they chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, saying, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is pleased with you in regards to our religion. Why shouldn't we be pleased with you in regards to our worldly affairs? So they pledged allegiance to him, and the companions were unanimous on it. Those who directly participated in the selection and those who did not were subjected to it. This is because the Muslims are considered as one community and one hand.
Okay, so this is what we mentioned earlier. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, there was indication to choose, you know, the Khalifa, the leader for the Muslims. And there were signs, and one of the main signs that every companions know, and all those who read the seer of the Prophet, during his illness, he insisted of Abu Bakr to lead the Salah. He was sick, and Salat al-Fajr. And the Aisha radiallahu anha did not listen to the Prophet sallam, and they sent whom? Umar. And the Prophet sallam heard the sound. This is not the sound of Abu Bakr. قال يأبى الله ذلك ورسوله. He said, Allah and Rasul is not in favor, you know, nothing against Umar, but this is not the one to lead. Meaning what? Abu Bakr. مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. And he insisted for to Aisha radiallahu anha to go and let your dad lead the salah. And when he led the salah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet came out of his illness, he found himself little strength. As soon as he was walking to the mihrab, and Abu Bakr felt, because the Prophet ﷺ coming from his room, so he started going back, and the Prophet is telling him, no, to stay in your space, continue your leadership. And this is permissible. The Imam can let another person lead, or the Imam can come and take over the Imam, who is, for example, for confusion reason, I don't want to do this in this masjid. I could have come from, if I'm coming late, and whoever is leading the salah, I just can tap on the shoulder, I take from him, I took over the salah. But for you, because, you know, this kind of fiqh salah, you know, you might kind of confuse, what is going on here, are we doing? So we don't do that, I just join in the salah like everyone else. But the Imam has the right to do that, to come and take his part. And I pray my, if for example, he finished one rak'ah for salat al-isha, and then I do what? How many rak'ah I pray?
Three.
How many rak'ah I pray?
Three.
I pray three?
He pray one, he pray four.
How many rak'ah I pray now? I take over. I have to pray my four. But what do you do when I stand up for my fourth rak'ah? You sit down and you do your tashahud. You don't do salam. No, you wait for me. You wait for me. I go stand up and I come down and I sit down. Then we all together, assalamu alaykum. As-salam, and this is the jama'ah and the ummah and the unity. Not everybody pray on his own. Shaykh al-Hudayfi, I know may Allah pleased with him. He's, mashallah, one of the shaykh al-Madina. And I open my eyes on his qira'ah, his beautiful voice. In one of Salat al-Maghrib in Medina, he made takbirat al-Ihram. And for a minute, he was on dua al-Siftah. Ready for him to start the qira'ah, al-fatiha. Then all of a sudden he approached the microphone and he said, intadhiru daqiqa. Twice. Intadhiru daqiqa. Of course, to those who don't know, everybody stay in place. Meaning what? What do you understand from intadhiru daqiqa? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And everybody stand in their place. He took his abaya. You look at the subhanAllah, simplicity of our deen. Everybody standing, right? And some, it's confusion because you can see people putting their hands, people looking around. Nobody's daring to move. Look at the beauty of this deen. Everybody is okay. Well, imams. This is the leadership. Until he came back, you know, because in the mihrab of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, next door where the imam comes, there is the wudu for the imam. So he comes in there, and you can see the wetness in his. It's amazing. And he's coming there, he put in his thobe on. Allahu Akbar. And everybody again, Allahu Akbar. Engaging in salah. Look at this leadership. In everything, there is. If we don't have this leadership, what will happen to us? Right? So the Prophet exactly when he heard Abu Bakr, and he wanted, Abu Bakr, he stepped back. He did not want to. And the Prophet came and he took over. And he, after the salah, he told Abu Bakr, why did you stay when I ordered you to do? He said, "Ma kana li ibn Abi Quhafa." It is not right for Ibn Abi Quhafa. He's putting himself down to stand bayna yaday Rasulullah. I am ahead of you. Look at the level of respect and love to the Prophet. How can I be ahead of you, Ya Rasulullah? He says, "No way. It's not from me." And this is khuluq Abu Bakr. So hariyun bihi. This is really qualified characteristics for someone to lead the ummah, right? And many characteristics we want to talk about it, but this is one. That's what the author is saying about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And there is Ahlul Hal al-Aqd where they choose. But if you make it votes, as he said at the beginning, then the villagers, then the one who doesn't even know how to write, you go to the voting place. What should I do? What should I vote? Just scratch here. He's paid by someone else. Scratch here for the one who's paying the money. He doesn't know anything. He goes scratch and throw it there. Another one, scratch here, throw. And before you know it, this man who has no ilm, no knowledge, nothing. Oh, I am leader. أصبحت أنا وأطيعه الله وأطيعه الرسول. Now he knows this ayah. وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. So what do you have, ya Sheikh, from the deen in your pocket? Wallahi, I don't have much except business and trades and ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Let's go to the second way, inshallah, for choosing Muslim leaders, and we'll stop here, inshallah. We'll continue next week, inshallah.
The second way, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was about to die, he chose and appointed Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to replace him. So the Muslims heard and obeyed. This is the second way amongst the ways of conferring leadership, is that the one in authority chooses a custodian who will succeed him after his death, as was practiced by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when he chose Umar radiallahu anhu.
Good, we'll stop here, inshallah. It happened a lot through the Khilafah. If you notice, especially the Khilafah al-Umayyah, they choose from one to another, to another, to another, and this is possible. Or a prince to a prince to a prince to a prince, or a king to a king. It can also be chosen. But the more important thing, when someone chooses someone to succeed him, they have to know to do what? They have to make sure that they have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are قَدْ وَلَّوْا أَمْرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. They were given the control of the matters of Muslims. Now they are in charge. They are responsible. And Abu Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, if a mule tripped في البصر أو الكوفة أو في العراق, I was afraid that Umar will be asked about it. Because why? He did not make a good road for it. look at the fear of, and this is far away. Where is Umar in Medina and where is the other one talking about Iraq or Kufa, all the other side. And he's afraid that he's going to be asked about it. Now these days, if the whoever given the next person to succeed him, they have to do what? They have to remind him of Allah and Ad-Dar Al-Akhirah. Right? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Falah والصلاح لبلاد المسلمين نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجنبنا الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله
This for Kumar I don't know if you record
يا نعسان